Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Law Hour. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, as an educational service in the public interest. Now, I'm your host, George Gordon. The Law Hour is heard live daily 7 days a week and worldwide on the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and the Gordon Law School, please go to my website. It's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour brings you important information about law news, education, medicine, economics, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on aspartame poisoning, the solution, honey, right after this message. You know, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our forefathers, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. And you shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight. A perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed this scriptural principle when they put, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts," into our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10. But back in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation, and in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks of the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system, and they gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coin. Now, in the intervening 70 years, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until now we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our nation? Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons in my Mosaic Law School. I conduct that school twice a year here at the law school in Isabella, Missouri. Now, to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? First, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call right now to order yours. The number's 417-273-4967. My Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org, click on email, and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. Well, it wouldn't be right if we criticized the inorganic chemical sweeteners and then the more organic chemical sweetener sugar without coming up with a solution to the problem. I've said for many years, if there's no solution to the problem, then you don't need to know what the problem is. But in the problem with chemical sweeteners like aspartame and sucralose, there is a solution. Back in the 1840s, when we started this whole process of refining sugars, Americans ate about 2 teaspoonfuls a day. Today, we eat over 200 pounds a year. 200 pounds. We've gone from, you know, a little snack every day to putting this sugar in everything that we eat, whether it's cookies and snacks or crackers and it's milk and yogurt and so on. Nearly everything has sugar, and that's because Americans want fat, salt, or sugar. Those are the three main ingredients in our food in the United States. And of course, God has told us not to eat fat, at least not animal fat. And that's what our problem is at McDonald's and these fast food restaurants. The hamburger is 30% fat by law. And then, of course, we've got to have salt. And salt's good for us, but the salt that we're using is a chemical, sodium chloride, which has been totally denatured and heated until it is a mere chemical, not a mineral. And because the salt and the fat taste good, we want more of it. Now, salt's a pretty expensive item. When you take natural sea salts, I use Celtic salts here at our home. Now, we pay about $22 a pound for natural organic sea salts that have not been heated. Now, that's for putting on your meat and potatoes. We Americans buy salt for about 30 or 40 cents a pound in the grocery store. Maybe it's 50 cents now. I can remember as a kid, it used to be a dime for a 1 pound package of salt. And that stuff, no matter where it comes from, it is denatured. It goes through a process whereby the salt companies take the minerals out of it and leave nothing but the sodium chloride left. This then is a toxic poison. And then the third thing is sugar. And we have refined sugar, which is a toxic poison. And then we've gone a step further than toxic poisoning sugar. We have a chemical sweetener called aspartame, which we're consuming about 20 pounds of that pure chemical a year. Now, you take the fat, which is poison. God told us not to use it. You take the salt, which is a poison now. And that's another toxic ingredient. And then you take the third one over here, the sugar, which is a pure chemical or a chemical such as refined sugar, and we have three very toxic poisons, long, slow poisons, being put into all of the foods that we eat in the United States, and then wonder why it is that we're sick. Now, some of us have awakened to the problem. We all like salt, so I go to extremes to bring in the best salt that money can buy. I pay a little extra for it, but I'm getting minerals in my salt that my body needs. I avoid animal fats, and then on the sugar, I've substituted honey for the chemical sugars. Now, let me reveal to you some of the information that perhaps you've never seen before concerning this thing called honey. The health benefits of honey. Honey enhances the function of these substances. Your digestive system. Honey alleviates the diarrhea associated with gastroenteritis by destroying the detrimental bacteria that are implicated in gastroenteritis. Scientific research in humans, the addition of honey to the fluids of children afflicted with gastroenteritis resulted in 40% quicker recovery than that of control subjects. In your immune system, honey inhibits the growth of many types of detrimental bacteria, including Salmonella, Escherichia coli, Shigella, and Vibrio cholerae. Now, in the musculoskeletal system, honey soaked in gauze and applied topically to afflicted sites accelerates the healing of burns. In scientific research in humans, burns patients treated with honey healed 50% more rapidly than controls with approximately 50% less scarring than control subjects. In Genesis 1, verses 29 and 30, God makes a statement. He says, I've given you people every green herb on the planet to use for food, for meat. Well, honey, while it's not a green plant, comes from green plants. It's the bee, an insect, that goes out here and collects the nectar out of plants, takes that nectar, runs it through the bee's digestive system, vomits it back up, turns it into a process or into a product called honey, and it's the food for bees, the nectar of the gods, it's been called. It contains a tremendous amount of nutritive value, and it's a complex carbohydrate, not a simple carbohydrate. It was designed, God gave us the land of milk and honey. It is not only good tasting, it's not only good for you, it's nutritional, but it's also medicinal. Wine does the same thing. You can put wine on cuts or on abrasions, bruises, wounds, and injuries. You can put honey on these same abrasions and bruises, and that's because honey is an antiseptic. When you put honey on an open wound, it kills the bacteria in there. Bacteria cannot live in honey. Now, isn't that just special? Now, when you have ulcers, honey suppresses, see if I can pronounce this one, Helicobacter pylori, the detrimental bacteria that is responsible for many duodenal ulcers and gastric ulcers. Scientific research in humans, honey consumed daily halted the growth of the Helicobacter pylori within 3 days. Now, if you've got ulcers and you want to cure the ulcers, you do it with honey. But keep in mind, it can't be cooked honey. It's got to be raw honey. Cancer has been called the cooked food disease. Cooked food disease. People who have a high intake of raw foods not only have less cancer, but it's also one of the methodologies for controlling and curing cancer. Get off cooked food and take in raw organic foods, and your body's immune system will rebuild itself and throw the cancer out. Honey is a very important nutritive. Wounds. Honey, when it's applied topically, accelerates the healing of wounds and prevents the infection of wounds. More scientific research. Honey enhances the function of these substances. The endogenous substances, neurotransmitters, and honey contains precursors for the manufacture of serotonin. Now, this serotonin is an important element for controlling degenerative diseases, particularly in the nervous system. Now, it's been said that there isn't any known cure for neurotransmission diseases. That is, the neurotransmitters, once they're scrambled, they can't be rebuilt. Well, perhaps if we looked more into honey as a therapy for it, we might be able to do more for those neurotransmitter dysfunctions. All right, there's the opening statement on honey. Now let's see what else we can come up with. The health benefits of raw honey. And I want to emphasize that term raw, because once the honey has been heated and the enzymes have been destroyed, honey is no longer a food. Honey becomes toxic. It's just like milk. Once milk has been heated and the enzymes destroyed, milk becomes a toxin, becomes a poison. It's no longer a food. So it's no secret that unprocessed honey straight from the hive has been used worldwide for millennia to promote healing. And we've gathered an extensive intelligence base, both old and new, from medical journals, historic references, leading research facilities, and the National Honey Board. Here's just a sampling of how really raw honey is being used with amazing results. It aids stomach and digestion. In digestive disturbances, honey is of great value. Honey does not ferment in the stomach because, being an inverted sugar, it is easily absorbed and there's no danger of a bacterial invasion. The flavor of honey excites the appetite and helps digestion. The propona of the ancients, made of honey, was a popular appetizer. For anemics, dyspeptics, convalescents, and the aged, honey is an excellent reconstructive and tonic. In malnutrition, no food or drug can equal it. The laxative value of honey, on account of its lubricating effect, is well known. Its fatty acid content stimulates peristalsis in gastric catarrh, hyperacidity, gastric and duodenal ulcers, and gallbladder diseases. Honey is recommended by several eminent gastroenterologists. Now, Dr. Schaedt of Wiesbaden, Germany, claims to have cured many hopeless cases of gastric and intestinal ulcers with honey and without operations. It is rather unusual that a physician of standing has the courage and conviction to praise honey. The beekeepers and their friends know that honey will cure gastric and intestinal ulcerations and this distressing, prevalent, and most dangerous malady, a precursor of cancer, but the news has not yet reached 99% of the medical profession. The remaining few physicians who know of it are afraid to suggest such an unscientific and plebeian remedy for fear of being laughed at by their colleagues and scientifically inclined patients. Now, you may read in almost every issue of the agricultural papers the reports of correspondents regarding their experience with honey for gastric ulcers after going through the medical mill for many years without improvement, without even hope of ever getting cured. Then, incidentally, they meet a beekeeper or one of his converts, and if they have courage and common sense, which is very rare, to heed their advice, they get well. And it's disheartening for a physician to read such reports. All right, so if you've got ulcers, honey will cure them. For instance, a correspondent, ALT of Omaha, Nebraska, writes in Gleanings in Bee Culture, published in February 1931, quote, "I have been a sufferer from ulcerated stomach for several years, part-time in the hospital, part-time in bed, and nearly all the time in much pain. I noticed from the middle of September I was much better and gave no thought to the reason, but I kept up eating honey because I relished it. I had no attacks since, and it has held good," unquote. It would fill a volume to assemble similar testimonials praising particularly the curative value of honey in gastric and intestinal disorders, including ulcers. Father Nipp, a great admirer of honey, remarked, "Smaller ulcers in the stomach are quickly contracted, broken, and healed by it." Now, the above historical information from the 1930s and contemporary commentary compiled from Honey and Your Health, Bodog F. Beck, M.D., and Dory Smedley, Health Resources Press, Incorporated, Silver Spring, Maryland, 1997. Okay, that's called Health Resources Press, Incorporated, Silver Spring, Maryland, 1997. The book is called Honey and Your Health. The authors, Bodig, that's B-O-D-O-G, Bodog, F. Beck, M.D., and Doreen Smedley. Now, honey as a treatment for stomach ulcers. A team of researchers from the University of Waikato in New Zealand studied whether honey could benefit those afflicted with the H. pylori bacterium known to cause gastric ulcers. Within 3 days, honey stopped the growth of the bacterium colonies. Now for treating allergies. Ada, Oklahoma. An Oklahoma allergist told a meeting of 150 beekeepers that raw honey is an effective treatment for 90% of all allergies. Let me repeat that. Honey is an effective treatment for 90% of all allergies. Dr. William G. Peterson, an allergist from Ada, Oklahoma, in the 1950s said he now has 22,000 patients across the nation who are using raw honey along with more customary medications to relieve allergy symptoms. It must be raw honey, because raw honey contains all of the pollen, dust, and molds that cause 90% of all allergies. He told a meeting of the Oklahoma Beekeepers Association, "What happens is that the patient builds up an immunity to pollen, dust, or mold that is causing these allergies in the first place. The raw honey must not be strained, not even through a cloth," he added. "I know the customer wants good, clear, strained, purified honey, and that's fine. But for health reasons, raw honey is what we need." Okay, now let's pause for a moment here because I'm an old-timey beekeeper, and let me describe to you how to buy honey. As a beekeeper, I'm a businessman. And when I go to extract honey, I want to get the most honey out of the hives, out of the supers, we call them, out of the comb. And then I need to strain it. I need to filter it. So I'm in the business of taking out all of the pollen, the molds, and all of the natural things that are in the honey so that I can create a marketable product, because my customers want clear amber honey. Now, I don't eat clear amber honey. As an old-timey beekeeper, I eat the dregs. I eat the black honey. The darker the honey is, the more nutrients it contains. Honey is rich in minerals. The minerals, you know, like potassium and iron and copper and all of these minerals are in the honey, and it's in the dark black honey. So that dark black honey is what we call the dregs. The clear amber honey is what comes off first. Most beekeepers feed the dregs back to the bees, and you take the nutritionless honey and feed it to people. What you want is the dark honey, unfiltered. So you go to a beekeeper, and if you'll ask your agriculture extension agent in your county, who are the beekeepers, you call your beekeeper and you say, listen, I want raw honey. I don't want it filtered, and I don't want it heated. I just want you to give me the dregs. And he'll sell it to you. He'll probably sell it to you cheaper than the number one honey. Remember, honey comes in various grades. Number one is the clear amber, and number two is a little bit darker, and then number three is the dark honey. Then the last thing you get is the dregs. This is what nobody wants, and so the beekeepers feed it back to the bees. What you want are the dregs. Tell him that you want the heavy dregs, the bee food. And he'll do that for you. He'll put it in a 5-gallon can. If you want to, pay a little more, and he'll put it in quart jars for you. And instead of using sugar and artificial sweeteners, you'll learn how to use honey. Now, there are lots of books on the subject of honey. You know, when you want to make cookies, you can make cookies with honey rather than with sugar or with artificial sweetener. Now, one of the complaints that I hear from people is that honey is messy, and sugar is easier and faster to work with. And I suppose if you're working at Winchell's Donuts and you're turning out a commercial product and you're not concerned about people's health, you're just concerned about making money, I can understand why chemicals and white sugar is what you want. Now, from the perspective of health and healing, if you don't care about diabetes or some other degenerative disease, and you have the time to shoot yourself up with insulin every day with a hypodermic needle for the rest of your life, then go ahead and use white sugar and chemical sweeteners. If, on the other hand, it's come to your attention that maybe you could spend a little bit more time and use honey instead of white sugar so that you can save the time, the expense, and the mess of insulin hypodermic needles, well, then maybe honey wouldn't be such a bad option after all. After all, it's a choice that you have to make. And so when you're 30 years old, you make the choice, and when you're 60 years old, you live with the results. That's where life is located. Now, much of the effectiveness of raw honey to help treat respiratory problems has been traced to the bee pollen and propolis suspended within the honey. According to a research report from Bulgaria, they found that the honey was anti-allergic, anti-inflammatory, and expectorant properties that ensure the body has an immunobiological defense and give it the capacity to regenerate its attacked cells. Research on using raw honey to treat respiratory problems shows the following results. Of the 17,862 patients treated with honey, 8,836, or about half, were men. 9,026 were women. Most of the patients ranged in age from 21 to 60 years old, and after treatment, the results were respiratory problems, chronic bronchitis, asthmatic bronchitis, bronchial asthma, chronic rhinitis, allergic rhinitis, and sinusitis. Without symptoms is up to the 80th percent, 56 to 80%. Improved condition ranged anywhere from 14 to 26%. The temporary improvement ranged from 6 to 16%, and no effect whatsoever ranged from 4 to 14%. Now read what a user said about using really raw honey to cure and clean up her allergies. Now, Dr. Peterson said that he and 20 doctors of his clinic in Ada, Oklahoma, normally prescribe a daily teaspoon of raw honey. A honey treatment continues even after the allergy is under control. Information in excerpts from Beehive Product Bible, page 127 to 130. Well, hang on here for a second. Let me pay the rent here. And we'll be right back with more on honey right after this message. Now, you're listening to The Law Hour. I'm your host, George Gordon. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest sponsored by the Gordon Law School. All of these Law Hour programs are archived for your listening convenience on the internet at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. You know, here's an interesting statement. It says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said that we ought to obey God rather than men." That's recorded in Acts 5, verse 29. You know, that's a revolutionary concept, and it's impossible to put into practice unless you know the law yourself. Could you imagine yourself actually telling a policeman or a judge that the law of God supersedes the law of the state? It's superior to the law of California, New York, and Florida. Well, there are actually three laws or three authorities that support Peter's position that is mentioned in Acts 5, verse 29. The First Amendment to our federal constitution is number one. It's called the Free Exercise Clause. Public Law 97-280, also known as Statute 96-1211, enacted by Congress in 1982, is the second authority. The third authority comes from the U.S. Supreme Court and is recorded in a case called Seeger versus United States. That's the third. So our Constitution in the First Amendment, Congress in Public Law 97-280, and the United States Supreme Court in Seeger versus United States. Now, do you know the scriptural law to cite in support of your position on, say, the census, public schools, Social Security, vaccinations, or the many other laws of the scripture that conflict with the laws of the state? Do you know how to look that law up, research it out, code plead the law to use the scripture to defend yourself against state and federal intrusion into your constitutionally protected rights? Well, if you don't know the law of the scripture and you don't know the law of the state, then you're in no position to challenge either one, are you? Now, if you're tired of being a biblical illiterate with the police and public officials kicking sand in your face, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first? Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call right now to order yours. The number's 417-273-4967. My Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about honey. This week we started off with aspartame, a chemical sweetener. Then we branched out into sucralose. Then we took a look at the real thing, Jolt sugar, refined sugar, white sugar, brown sugar. And now we're looking at the solution to the problem. We've been talking about the problems all week. Now see what the solution to the problem is. And the answer is honey. Now God has placed the right amount of sugars into all of the natural foods that we eat. All foods contain some sugar. A carrot has sugar. Fruits have sugar. When you're eating a pear, a pineapple, an apple, they all contain sugar. And God even came up with a solution to baking and just a plain sweet tooth, and it's called honey. And you can eat all the honey you want. I mean, if you've got a sweet tooth, you can just chow down on honey. Honey is mentioned in the Bible numerous times. It's never used negatively. It's always used positively. It's like milk. God gave us a land that flowed with milk and honey. Now, honey evidently is bad for most people. They don't like it. They prefer white sugar and chemicals to natural honey. Honey comes in a number of flavors, by the way. You can get alfalfa, eucalyptus, orange, a whole variety of honey. It's thick and it's sticky, and it's not as convenient or easy to use as is white sugar, powdered sugar. And I suppose that it's probably no good at all with Krispy Kremes or Winchell's donuts. But you don't have to fear when you eat honey that your teeth are going to rot out because it doesn't cause dental caries. You don't have to fear that when you eat honey that it's going to give you cancer or that it's going to cause any kind of reactions. There are no side effects or reactions to eating honey at all. None. Zero. Zilch. I'm talking about raw honey. So when God gave it to you, he gave you a nutritious food and he gave you a very delicious condiment at the same time. Now, many years ago, a study by Robert Bloomfield, published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, reports applied every 2 to 3 days under a dry dressing. Honey promotes healing of ulcers and burns better than any other local application, and it can also be applied to other surface wounds, including cuts and abrasions. Instead of putting on mercurochrome and methylate, why don't you put on pure, raw honey? I know it's kind of wild and off the wall. Nobody wants to use it, and that's because it's cheap. You ever notice that? These cures to diseases that come from the Bible or come from nature are free. They're, well, they may not be exactly free, but they're super cheap. And that's why that the pharmaceutical companies don't like them. They can't be patented. They can't be sold. Now, honey has an anti-cancer property also. Recent studies by Griebel and Peschinski indicated that honey possessed moderate anti-tumor and pronounced anti-metastatic effects in five different strains of rat and mouse tumors. Furthermore, honey potentiated the anti-tumor activity of chemotherapeutic drugs such as 5-fluoroethyl and, oh boy, this is a tough one, cyclophosphamide. Now here's another one. C.V. Rao at the American Health Foundation in Valhalla, New York, found cafetic acids in propolis are inhibitors of colon cancers in animals. Other research shows hive products have the ability to prevent and halt the spread of malignant diseases. Earlier research by M.T. Huang, also published in Cancer Research, found cafetic acids effective in inhibiting skin cancer tumors in mice. Why don't you try it and believe it? For skin rashes, burns, and abrasions, apply a small amount of raw honey right over the affected area. It may cover, or you may cover it then with a dressing or a dusting of cornstarch to reduce any stickiness. Here's the ultimate moisturizer. Smooth a small amount of really raw honey lightly over the skin. Easily remove later with the splashes of cold water or comfortable warm water. It leaves your skin baby soft. As a bath, and as an antibacterial soap. You wash with raw honey straight from the jar and enjoy sparkling, clean skin. Facial blemishes and acne caused by cosmetics or allergies will clear up quickly using a nightly treatment of raw honey. A very small amount is needed. For hair and scalp treatment, apply raw honey with or without olive oil to dry or damp hair about 1/2 hour before washing. You'll be amazed at your crowning glory. For dental care and mouth sores, it cleans teeth, mouth and dentures, it stops bleeding gums, it stops canker sores, blisters, and mouth ulcers. They respond to application of unstrained raw honey. Click here for an informative article about raw honey is good health care for teeth. Now remember, sugar, the dentist says, watch it. And that's because this stuff is a chemical. A chemical. Refined sugar rots your teeth. Honey cleans your teeth and doesn't cause dental caries. And you can't overdose on the stuff. I mean, you can eat honey until you puke, but you're not going to eat honey that's going to cause you any kind of physical harm. Now, an astounding natural preservative, unprocessed honey found in ancient tombs was determined to be edible and was even used to preserve bodies. It keeps foods fresh and moist longer and retards spoilage. Honey has been taken out of the pyramids 3,000 years old. Still edible, still good. And by the way, when this honey sugars and it gets hard, I've had people tell me, well, the honey got hard, it sugared, and I threw it out. It wasn't any good anymore. Now what you do is you put it on the stove and you heat it. So you take the jar and you put it in a pan, put some water in the pan, lift the jar off the bottom by putting a canning jar lid on the bottom and then put the jar on the canning jar lid so that the jar is not directly over the flame, but in the water. Now turn it on very low so that it heats the water. Leave the lid on the honey jar loose so that it doesn't blow up on you. You want to make sure that the water in the pan doesn't go over 130 degrees or so, 140 degrees, 150 degrees, all right, for the water. Now, that'll keep the honey under 132 degrees so that it does not kill the enzymes. You want to heat the honey up to about 100 to 110 degrees. That hard crystalline honey will then melt. Put it in your little squeeze bear, put it on the table, and there you are, you use it. Always be careful with honey that you don't kill the enzymes. Now, honey is known as a medicinal since ancient times. The consideration alone that a snake is pictured coiled around the stick of Aesculapius, eager to feed from a cup of honey, ought to be sufficient exhortation to medical men to be more interested in the substance called honey. Aesculapius, the god of medicine, who not only healed the sick but restored the dead to life. They held the snake to be sacred. The snake was the emblem of health and recovery. The snakes were fed honey and honey cakes. Whenever entered into the cave of Trophonius, they had to throw in honey cakes to the snakes. Honey was also a favorite food of the fabled serpent, the Quartiar, the Acropolis. The snake of Aesculapius in COS was given honey and honey cakes. Now, clear back into ancient times, honey has been revered as being the food of the gods. Honey is called the food of the gods. All right, here's the last item over here we need to cover. Organic honey, the healing properties. Organic honey has been used for centuries on wounds, burns, and scrapes. Now researchers have proven that honey promotes healing in wounds and helps prevent and cure infections. Well, honey has been used for centuries on wounds, burns, and scrapes. Historians tell of ancient Egyptians using honey for diverse medicinal purposes. The ancient Chinese used honey to prevent smallpox wounds from scarring. Native Americans used raw honey on wounds. Honey was a common home remedy up until antibiotic creams were developed during World War II. And now, because of the increase of antibiotic-resistant bacteria, old-time folk remedies are being looked into with greater interest. Researchers worldwide are confirming the medicinal properties of honey. I might point out that in Roman times, when the soldiers went out on the battlefield, the only way they had to treat wounds is with wine and honey. Wine to disinfect the wound. You know, you get shot with an arrow, they pulled the arrow out, dug out the arrow head, and then disinfected that wound with honey, that's the alcohol, excuse me, disinfected the wound with wine, that's the alcohol in the wine, as a disinfectant, and then stuffed the hole full of honey, which would stop the bleeding. It plugs up the hole, stops the bleeding, promotes the healing, and kills any bacteria that might be growing. It stops infection. Bacteria cannot live in honey. Now, you can put honey out on the table. The temperature can be 90 degrees. And the honey will not develop mold. It won't do jack squat. Mold can't live on honey. But boy, the mold can live in your strawberry jam. So you leave the strawberry jam out on the table, and it develops mold. Hell, that strawberry jam will develop mold in the refrigerator at 40 degrees, given a little time. Not honey. So tuck that one away in your heart. You know, someday you may be without doctors and without recourse to modern medicine. You might not have antibiotics. So in which case, then, we resort to these folk remedies. Folk remedies, they're called. Now, according to a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, applied every 2 to 3 days under a dry dressing, honey promotes healing of ulcers and burns better than any other local application, and it can also be applied to other surface wounds. Even more research has been done in England, Australia, and New Zealand regarding the benefits of using honey to promote wound healing. The advantages of honey are many. Some are understood, but others are still to be explained. Well, it'll be a long time before any of the big pharmaceutical companies start experimenting with honey, and the reason for that is that unless you can patent the process, it's of no value to you. You can't patent vitamin B17. And if it cures cancer, it's the last thing we want out there in the marketplace. Let's get rid of it. Well, the same thing is true with honey. What are you going to do? Patent honey? You know, honey is everywhere. Honey is produced by bees. You can't outlaw the stuff. God has designed a medicine. Wine is a medicine. It's spoken of in the Bible as being a medicine, and so is honey. That's why the Romans used it. That's why ancient battles and battlefield commanders had honey and wine to treat their wounded. Honey and wine. The thick texture of honey provides a protective barrier and creates a moist atmosphere that allows skin cells to grow without forming a scab. If a scab does form, the skin can only grow deep in the wound where it is moist. This can cause puckering and scarring. Honey is also beneficial when a scar has already formed. It'll raise the existing scab slightly so that the skin can regrow evenly under the scab. Honey also allows bandages to be removed easily. This means that there is no pain when the bandage is removed and no tearing away of newly healed skin. Honey's high sugar content will draw any remaining dirt out of the wound, as well as drawing moisture from the wound. Now, this helps reduce the risk of infection. This risk is lowered even further by honey's low pH. This naturally inhibits the growth of many forms of bacteria. All right, again, honey inhibits the growth of bacteria because bacteria cannot grow in honey. So if you've got a wound, you rinse the wound out. You can use alcohol, you can use disinfectant, whatever you want. But here's the kicker. You know, you have to stitch a wound up. And when you stitch it up, you create a scar. When you use honey, you pack the wound with honey, and then you pull a butterfly bandage over the top of it to tie it together, and then you put a dressing over the top of the wound. The moisture content of the honey allows the skin cells to grow without causing this scar. So the wound will heal without a scar. Now, there are other herbs that do the same thing, such as comfrey. One time, our oldest boy, who has epilepsy, fell into a pot of boiling macaroni, and the whole right side of his face was burned. burned so severely that we thought, well, when this thing heals up, he should be something that looks like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I mean, he should be just scarred up something fierce. So the wife took a poultice of comfrey and honey and put it on his face. And then she wrapped his face in gauze and taped it on. He went to the hospital, and he got to the hospital, to the burn unit. They looked at him, and they thought, my God, what is this green stuff all over this kid? Well, an old doctor there looked at it, and he said, I see that you're using a folk remedy. And my wife said, yeah. And he said, well, that's not approved, and we would not use that here, not because it doesn't work, but because it's not approved here in the hospital. But since you put it on, we don't have to take it off, and if that's what you want to treat that with, I would recommend it because that burn will heal without scarring. So we continued in the hospital to use that honey and comfrey. Took him out of the hospital, brought him home, and used honey and comfrey. Kid's 40 years old today with not any scar whatsoever on his face. Now, the medicinal effects of honey have been documented for thousands of years. This old doctor at the hospital's burn unit had heard about this folk remedy called comfrey and honey. He knew about it, but he said, I couldn't use it. If you brought somebody into the burn ward of the hospital, he said, we would treat it with antibiotics. We would treat it with chemicals. And yes, it would scar. And that's not because we don't know about the medicinal value of honey, the folk remedies that are out there. It's that the protocols of medicine do not allow us to use those. Young doctors today probably haven't heard this. If they have, they had to go to some unorthodox source of information to find it. But we did find one old doctor that knew and understood that, and we used it, and of course, we're very satisfied with the results. What remains is destroyed by the hydrogen peroxide formed when honey combines with body fluids. So hydrogen peroxide is formed when the honey combines with body fluids, and the hydrogen peroxide that it contains is released slowly, keeping unwanted germs from attacking. So when God designed this thing called honey, he designed a medicine. This is a medicine that tastes good. Now, keeping unwanted germs from attacking in the honey because of the hydrogen peroxide, unlike harsh antiseptics and antibiotics, there is no further damage caused to the tissues when honey is applied. There are also ingredients in honey which researchers have yet to completely identify. They reduce swelling and they promote the growth of healthy tissue. Now, that's what we observed here with our oldest boy. He promoted the growth of new tissue. When his face, when he came out of the hospital, there wasn't anything they could do for him, so they said, well, we're going to release him, so send him back home. And every day we would change the bandage, the wife would change his bandage, and apply new comfrey, raw comfrey. What you do is you take comfrey out of the garden, and you mash it up. She beat it, mashed it to break the leaves to release the juice, mixed it with honey in a bowl, and then applied it with her fingers to the burn, just wiped it on, then covered it with gauze and taped it on. She changed that every day. It only took about 5 days for that to heal up. It had a completely new skin on it. Now remember, he was about 23 or 4 years old. What do you think that would do to his whiskers, to his beard? You know, we thought, well, he'll probably be bald on that side of his face. He wasn't. He has a full beard to this day. It did not destroy the subdermal, and it was burned. It was a deep burn, about second and third degree burns. I mean, it was God awful. He fell into boiling macaroni. We don't know how long he was in it. And it wasn't just a small burn. It covered the whole right side of his face, including his eye and his ear. It was a big burn. No scarring whatsoever. And this article here is describing just exactly what our experience was with our oldest boy. Researchers know that they have much more to learn about the healing properties of honey. The fact that it is successful in fighting some of the antibiotic-resistant strains of infection makes it a scientific breakthrough that is sure to be widely recognized. That's a dream. Nobody's going to widely recognize honey. It's been around for thousands of years, but there's nobody wants it, especially in the medical sphere. Even more important is the fact that this material is inexpensive and easy to obtain. That's what's wrong with it. It's easy to obtain and it's inexpensive. We want something that's expensive and hard to obtain, something that you have to get from Searle or Pfizer, something that's patented, protected, and that if we catch you with it without a prescription, we'll jail you. We'll lock you up for 5 or 10 years like we do with other drugs. Here's a product that's better, created by the creator of the universe. It's good to eat. It's good for medicine, and it doesn't rot your teeth. There's no side effects to it whatsoever. It comes in a number of flavors depending upon where the bee collects the pollen in order to make, not the pollen, but the nectar is what they make honey with. So the bee goes out in the orange grove and he produces orange honey, goes out in the eucalyptus trees and produces eucalyptus honey, goes out in the alfalfa field, he makes alfalfa honey. He goes out in the clover field, makes clover honey. All of these honeys have different flavors. This is probably the most versatile sweetener. You can use it in baking and cooking. You can eat it direct. You can put it on your Winchell's donuts and your Krispy Kremes with no side effects. You can't overdose on it. It's a medicine. It's a miracle is what it is. And it's hated and it's reviled. And of all of the sweeteners used on planet Earth, honey represents one half of 1% of the sweetener used on planet Earth. And now you have the story of honey. The other, as they say with meat, you know, the other white meat, honey, the other sweetener. Now, if you want to see honey's healing properties for yourself, why don't you add a bottle to your first aid kit? Just make sure you keep it stored in a dark, cool place. Both heat and light can strip honey of its antibacterial properties. Experience for yourself what the Egyptians and the Chinese have known for hundreds of years. Now, when it says heat, that's heat over 132 degrees. You can store it at room temperature in a closet, and there's no problem with it whatsoever. And if the honey is sugared, you know it's raw. And if the honey will not sugar over time, then you know the honey has been heated. And the most likely place for it to have been heated is when it was extracted. That's when we beekeepers do our damage to the honey. Well, we're just about out of time here. You have been listening to The Law Hour. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour has been brought to you by the Gordon Law School as an educational service in the public interest. Now, for more information about The Law Hour and the Gordon Law School, please go to my website. It's georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. And keep in mind that The Law Hour is brought to you by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information on the Gordon Law Hour and The Law School, please go to the website, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Well, there's the signal. It says our time is up. We'll have to leave it right there. See you back here next time. God willing, same time, same station. So until then, goodbye, friends.